Okay, today's daf is Bamitzia daf Ayin Dalid. We are holding on daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. We're a few lines from the bottom of the page in Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. At Amar Rav Chama, Hai Mandiyav Zuze Lechavrei. More than a few, about 8-9 lines from the end of the page. Hai Mandiyav Zuze Lechavrei. We're going to discuss if a shliach didn't buy the wine for you, can you make him pay for the amount of wine that you can buy with the money that you gave him if he were to buy wine in the cheapest possible place? That's going to be the first discussion of the daf. The majority of Amid Aleph is going to talk about how we had said in the Mishnah that if a person has peiros, even though it's not yet a gemar melacha, he hasn't yet fully processed those peiros and they're not ready for mechira, you're still allowed to set a price kishar hazul for the cheap price, even before yatzah hashar, even before there's a set price, because it's as if he has those peiros and then they're already going into the rishus of the lokech because they're already prepared. So Gemara is going to talk about how early on can you do that, meaning how much before the peiros are fully processed are you able to set a price. So that's going to be the majority of Amid Aleph, just going through one type of priya and another type of priya and other types of kalim and what how early in the process in general one is able to set a price. Then the Gemara is going to go on to discuss how the Mishnah had said that posikim ol zevel kol yemos hashana, that Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to be posik zevel unless there is zevel ba'ashpa, but the chum are matir. So the Gemara is going to discuss, it sounds like the Mishnah is expressing three shitos, but in fact it seems that there are really only two shitos, because the Tanakam and the Chachamim seem to be the same. Then the Gemara is going to bring a Maisa where we paskin like the Tanakama, where we it seems to be that we paskin like the Tanakama in that Maisa. And then at the Mishnah, where we have this halacha of sa'a b'sa'a, that there's an iser to lend someone money peros today, a certain amount of peros today, with the condition that he's going to pay me back that same amount of peros later on, because maybe the peros will go up in price. So the Mishnah is going to discuss one situation where sa'a b'sa'a will not be aser, where it will be mutter to do a situation of sa'a b'sa'a, and the Gemara is going to bring a brisa about lending wheat to an aris as it relates to that Mishnah. So let's begin. We are again holding last word in line is Amar is Amar and Amar Rav Chama. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama. Hayman diav zuzei lechavre. A person gives money to his friend, lemizman lechamra, to buy wine for him in a place where wine could be bought pretty cheap, and he wants him to bring it here because over here wine is pretty expensive. Upasha v'lo zavenle. The shliach was simply negligent, didn't buy him wine at all. Mishalim le kidka azil aparva dizolshevat. He asked. The shliach has to pay the mishaleach the amount of wine that you could buy in a place called Zol Shafat. It's the name of a place where I assume people there had an easier time saying it than I just did, where they can where wine could be bought for a very cheap price. Amar Amemar Amrisa L'Shreita Kamed Rav Zvid Min Ardoa. So Amemar said, I told Rav Zvid in Ardoa this psak that Rav Chama was mechayiv the shliach to pay him the amount of wine that could have been bought in the cheapest place in the world. So Amar when does Rav Chama say that he has to pay such an amount of wine? That's only if he told him to buy wine stam, and he didn't tell him that he wants a specific type of wine. But if he says that I'm sending you to buy this wine, a specific kind of wine, then the shliach does not have to pay the mishaleach the amount of wine that could be bought in the cheapest place, because it's not so clear that he made him lose out. Because the yemar the mizavni lenale, who says that there were people who were selling that type of wine at that specific time. So it was one thing the shliach is poshea when it's obvious that he could have done his shlichus, but if he was poshea, and we don't even know that he could have done his shlichus, then he's not necessarily going to have to pay. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav Chama entirely, and he says, Afilu Yayin Stam, Nami Lo. Even if it's Yayin Stam, even if you weren't specific, the shliach doesn't have to pay you the amount of wine that he could have gotten in the cheapest place. My time, asmachtahi. The whole deal is an asmachta. If he would have known that in the end he's not going to buy the wine, he never would have been mechayev himself to give the amount of wine that he could buy in such a cheap place. He only said that he would do that because he thought that of course he's going to buy the wine. Why wouldn't he do a shlich? He didn't realize he was going to forget. Asmachta lo kanya. And whenever you have asmachta, it's lo kanya. So, frak the Gemara, the Ravashi, and Ravashi says that that it's asmachta. Maishna mehadetnan. Why is this any different from the Mishnah we're going to have later on? That the Mishnah is going to discuss a person is mekabel a field ba'arisus. He's an aris on the field, and the deal is he's going to give the owner of the field half of the grain that the field produces. And in the end, the aris just was lazy. He didn't do the job, and he left the field just fallow, not doing anything. So we evaluate how much the field should have produced if he had done his job, and you got to give half of what it would have produced, because that's the derech of an aris to write in the contract that he's mechayiv in the arisus. Im over v'lo avid ashalim b'mitva, that if I leave the field over, I leave it empty without doing anything, so then I'm going to pay the meitav of what the field could have produced. So you see that he's mechayiv to pay himself to pay for some hefsid that he caused if he doesn't do what he is conditioned, what he's contracted to do. That's not an asmachta, and he's actually chayiv to pay. So how come over here, when he was contracted to buy wine and he makes an agreement that he's going to pay the amount of he's going to give him the amount of wine that he can get at a very cheap price, we say, ah, it's a smachta, he doesn't really owe it. Yet when it comes to working the field, he does really owe it. So says Gemara, hasam biyado. Big difference is by the aris, the chayivus is not considered a smachta because it's completely in his hands. If he wants to plow and to plant and do all the work, so he can do that. Hachalav biyado. But over here, where the shliach is mechayev to pay based on the price in a cheaper place, lav biyado. It wasn't biyado b'shasa tonight to fulfill that tonight to go and sell it because he wasn't in that place where it was cheap. So it wasn't biyado at all to be mechayim it because it could not because he was in a different place, but the way most of the Rishonim, the Tosfos, the Ritva, and the Meiri understand is because maybe people won't be willing to sell to him. Whenever there's someone else involved in the transaction, you never know. So his das is not completely to be mischayev himself because it's an asmachta, because you never know if the person is really going to if anyone is really going to be willing to sell you something. Now the Ramban writes in the name of Haigon, and the Rashba also writes that really min adin, even when aris is mechayev himself, that's also an asmachta. It's a takanas chacham that you have to pay him. The Gemara's kasha is, why didn't the chacham also make a takana over here? Meaning it's not make or adin, they're both in fact asmachta. So the Rishonim suggests that since it was biyadu, so the Gemara's answer is, the Rishonim point out that since it was biyadu to be mechayim is his chayvus, the chacham were mesakin that he has to pay if he's not mechayim, even though it's an asmachta, as opposed to over here where it's not biyado, the Chacham made this takana. The Meiri quotes Yesh Mefarshim that when it was biyado and he didn't do it, it's considered mazik biyadayim, and that's why he has to pay. As opposed to when it's eino biyado, he's not mazik biyadayim. It's only a gram hezik. It's only considered like a grama, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv on something on something that was only an asmachta to begin with. Okay, so the Ravid is actually quoted by the Shittim Gubetzes that this whole chiluk is dafka the chiluk between biyado and not biyado is dafka in a place where he was gorim hefsid to the other party and he has to pay for the hefsid. So that's where if it was biyado, it's not an asmachta and he has to pay. But something that and if it's not biyado, it is an asmachta, he doesn't have to pay. But if he was not gorim any hefsid, so then it doesn't make a difference whether it's biyado or not biyado at all. So okay, says the Gemara now further. You have a shliach of many different people. So in what situation is he only kona for one of them? Three people give money to one guy to buy them something so that they can make some money off of it. He only bought the object for having in mind that he's buying it for one of them. So zavan lekulhu. all of them are partners, they all gave him money together, the kinyan works for all three of them. But that's only if the three partners the shliach didn't package the money together for all of them, for each one individually, and the money is all mixed up. So since the money is all mixed up, so it's considered that he's buying for all three of them, because the money is just one big pile of money. Aval, but if he packages each person's money individually, so whoever he bought for and he used their money, so that's the one he was koneh for, the other one are not shutfim at all, because he kept it all separate, so it's a separate deal for each and every one of them. Good, now there was a minute that storekeepers would buy a lot from a balabais, they would buy a ton of wine, let's say, all at one time, and they would leave it in the balabais's possession, and the chenveni would come and take from the storehouses one barrel at a time in order to go and sell them. And they would put a simen on the barrels that are already sold. There's a raya that these barrels are already sold, so they shouldn't be sold to anybody else, but they didn't actually make a kinyan. Meaning, so if I ran a store, I would buy dozens of barrels of wine from you, but I wouldn't actually make a kinyan. I would pay for it, and then we would just mark off in your warehouse that these barrels are already spoken for, that they're already taken. Amr of Papi Mishmei Durava, Haisi Tumta Kanya. So this I should have mentioned before. One of the topics we're going to be discussing is Situmta, something that's short of a regular kinyan. Someone who signs and makes a sign on the barrel, on the chavios that they bought, that's considered a kinyan. The balabais is not able to back out of the mechira, even though the chenveni didn't do an actual kinyan. No meshicha, no agbah. Still, the Situmta is good enough. What's the accepted form of kinyan in that case is to mark the barrels. Lamai hilchasa. So in what sense do we say that the chenveni owns these barrels? Is it mamish a kinyan gamur, to the extent that we say situmta is so strong that it's the same thing as having done a meshicha or agba? So chaviv amr lemikni a mamish. Yeah, it's a real kinyan. No one's able to be chazer, even if he wants to be mekabel lemisha para. It doesn't make a difference. He can't be chazer. It has nothing to do with whether you're a good guy, bad guy. It's a real kinyan. Rabban amri lekabel lemisha para. No, it's not a kinyan gamur. The situmta only helps that if one of them wants to be chozerbo, he's going to have to be mekabel mishapara. Mishapara is that curse, that mishapara me'anshidara mabel, me'anshidara flaga, the same ribbono shel who punish the people who have done bad things in the past, should punish this guy for not being omid b'diburo. V'hilchasa lekabuli alei mishapara. We paskin that situmta is not a kinyan gomer, but you're mekabel mishapara ba'asher d'nihigo l'mikne mamish, and in a place where the minig is that they do a situmta al menas that it should be a real kinyan for the chenveni as if he did an actual mashicha, then kani, then it actually is a real kinyan, and no one is allowed to be chozer, even if they're willing to accept upon themselves mishapara. Because once that became the minag, that kinyan is a real kinyan, so there's a gemiras das from both sides to make it a real kinyan. Any maisa that involves an absolute kamiras das for a kinyan works ki'ilu, it's a real kinyan gomer. So Rishonim bring a raya from here that whatever is the minhag asochrim to complete the mekach with, that's a kinyan gomer. That any davar shemamon that they're kona makna al pi minhag, it's always al pi minhag. The minhag is oker halacha in this case. That if there's a deal that's the way it works, that it's understood that in that industry, when you handshake, in that industry is golden, that's absolute, and that's the minhag, so then it actually becomes a mishapara. That's what the Rishon Rashba and the Rush suggest. In Muke Yosef, there's a machlok saposkim if that works min haTorah midrabanan. The Nesiva says that it's only midrabanan, but some sofer in the Chuvin Yardeis and Mishin Yudalid says that it actually works min haTorah. So that's the raya that the Rishonim bring from this line of the Gemara. Good. Mishnah had said, "Hayahu tchila lekotzim," that if a person who's selling peros has peros in his rishus, even though they're not yet fully processed and they're not ready to be sold, you're allowed to be posek kishar azul even before it's yata ashar, even before the prices have been determined, because it's as if you have those peros already, and the second you take money for them, those peros are going into the rishus of the lokeach. So the Gemara is just going to talk about how early on in the process, before the Gemara Malacha, can this deal deal be made? Can you be posek a price for them? Because so far before you're fully processed, these peros are fully processed. So Amar Rav, mechusar shtayim posek. If it's missing two more melachos until it's ready to be sold, then you could be posek the shar azul, even though there is no set price yet. But shalosh eino posek. If there are three more melachos that have to be done, then it's as if you don't have the item yet and you can't be posek. You have to wait until yatsa ashar, until there's a set price in the shuk, before you can lock in a price for the money. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says that bidei adam. No, it's not about how many things that have to be done. It's about how to get them done. If everything that needs to be done is up to the farmer, it's up to the guy himself to do, then afilu meya posek. Even if there are 100 melachos, you can already be posek because it's already biyado. It's already in his hands to make it happen. But bidei shemayim. But if you're waiting for the Ribbono Shel Olam to kick in, you know, otherwise you could say, well, I have seeds in the ground. All I need is some rain and some sunshine, and you know, it's gonna, you have no idea what's going to happen. You don't have anything yet. You're waiting bidei shemayim, then afilu achas ein posek. Even if you're waiting for just a single malacha, you don't have the ability to do it, then you can't be posek yet at that point. So let's discuss each example. Tanan, posek imala gadish. You're allowed to be posek for grain, even though you haven't yet threshed the grain. V'hamachusar, now stam gadish, before you process the grain, then before it could be sold, is missing four malachas. What are the four malachas missing? Mishta b'chama, to spread out the grain in the bundles of grain in the sun so that they could dry out properly. Lemevash, that they should actually dry out in the sun. Lemeidash, to do the threshing of the grain. Umidra, and to winnow the grain with a wind so that the chaff and the kernel will be separated from each other. So why does the Mishnah say you're allowed to be posek? So the Gemara answers, meaning, why would you be allowed to be posek? You're missing too many malachos. You're relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the sun to dry it all out. So how's this allowed according to anybody? So says Gemara, kigon deshadda b'chama v'yavesh. We're talking about, the Mishnah's talking about, you've already spread it out in the sun and it's already dried up. So all it's missing is the last two malachos, the disha and the zriya. So if it's only missing two malachos, we said that's good enough. Midra, isn't it mechusar zuriya, which required to be bidei shemayim, which requires Hakadosh Baruch Hu's cooperation to make the wind blow? So it says, "Mar efshar b'nafasa." No, you could do it with kalim that will mimic it. You could separate the grain from the chaff with filters and things like that that will allow it to be done bidei adam. So that's a fulfillment of the requirements according to both shitos in amoraim. So we said you could even be posek if you have a vat of grapes, so they're not yet processed at all. So says Gemara v'amechusar, but isn't this vat of grapes missing four melachos? Michmar, you have to warm up the anavim by letting them sit in the hot vat together. Ve'yulu be'matzarta, you have to put them into the gas, into the press. L'meidash, you have to press down on them. U'lemingad, and then you have to scrape out the wine from the press to the bar before that's in front of the gas. So isn't this too many malachos that it's missing? Ketani Rabbi Chia, no, Rabbi Chia said with regard to olives that alakomer shel zesim, so that we're talking about that it's already nischamim in the vat. So hachanami alakomer shel anavim, we're talking about that it's already at the stage that it's already ischamim in the vat of grapes, and therefore it's ra'ui to already be brought into the wine press. Frak the Gemara, you only took away one of the four steps of mechusar tlas, so you're still left with three. Basra du dezavenu denagin. The places where we're discussing a place where the minig is that whoever buys the wine does that last step. So you're only missing steps two and three because you already did step one. Step four is supposed to be done by the lokeach. The Gemara says, "Oh, but this is also missing four malachos. It's missing heating it up in the vat. Putting it in the olive press. Lemeidash, to actually crush it. Lemingad, and to get the oil out into the bar." So Rabbi Chia, the Komer Shel Zesim. So Rabbi Chia answered, "No, it's already in the Komer Shel Zesim." Same question. Aika Tlas, but he only took away the first malacha. There are still three more malachos that have to be done. We're talking about a place where the minig is that the guy who buys the oil does the last of the malachos, so that's not a problem. So another kasha on Rav. So this is our fourth Kashan Rav. Fourth example, Amai, why are you allowed to set a price on pots, on Klei Cheres, when all you have are the Bitzim Shel Yotzer, which are molds from which you're going to make pots? V'mechusar, you're missing so many steps. You're missing Lefufe, to make the measure out the amount of tit that you need, the Abushe, to dry out the tar, Ayuli Latuna, to put it into the Kivshan, Lemisraf, to heat up the Kivshan, heat it up in the Kivshan, Ulemepak, to take it out of the kiln, to take it out of the Kivshan. So it's missing five steps. So how can you say that you're already allowed to set a price? So answers Gemara, Kagon de Malafafa via Bishu. You already were Megalgal the tit, and you already made a tsura of a kli out of it, and it's already dried up based on that tsura. Vaikatlas, okay, but don't you still have the last three malachos till it's ready for mechira? You have to put it into the kivshan. You have to be mitzayv of the kivshan, and you have to remove them from the kivshan. So basra do the zavin, do the mapik. Again, the place of the minig is that the guy who buys it does the last of the malachos. So therefore, you're only missing two. So the Gemara asks now further on Rav Alasid Mishiyishkayanu b'kivshan, another kasha on fifth kasha on Rav. Why does the Mishnah allow setting up a price for sid even though it's not yet ready to be sold? You only put it in the kivshan. V'mechusar, you're missing three malachos. Mikla, to burn the limestones in fire. V'apuke, to take the stones out of the burnt stones out of the fire. Umedak, and to crush up the stones into a thin powder. So it's missing three steps. Basudu dezavin hahudayak. Again, the guy who buys it, we're talking about where the minig is, that the guy who buys it does the last step of the process. Now the Gemara says, yeah, what about Shmuel? Ul Shmuel da'amar bidei adam afilu meya posek, that if it's everything's bidei adam, then even if there are 100 malachos to be done, then you could be posek. Lama limishiyasharkenu b'kivshan. Why does the Mishnah have to say that you're not allowed to be posek on the sid until it's in the kivshan? Even the ashkaz havana b'kivshan is something that a person does. So you could say before you put it in the kivshan, it's already, you could already be posek, because every step past that is something that a human being does. So you could have even 100 steps, according to Shmuel, that a human being does. So it says, Ema sharoi l'shako b'kivshan. The time you're allowed to set the price is not once it's actually meshuka b'kivshan, it's when it's ro'i, when you already have the wood to light up the fire. So once, and the avanim to put in the kivshan, so that's all you need. Once you have all the raw materials, because that has to come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to provide with wood and provide with the limestones. So once you have all that, then that's good enough. Then, according to Shmuel, you can already set the price. Good. Val Beitzim Shel Yotzer. The Gemara has machlokas tanaim about setting a price for klei cheres. Tan Rabbanan ein poskan al Beitzim Shel Yotzer ad sheyasu. Divrei Meir. Meir says you're not allowed to set a price for klei cheres until you make the molds from the dirt. But if you still didn't make the molds, even though you have the raw materials from which to make the molds, it's too early to set a price for the klei cheres if there's not yet a sha'ar bashuk, if there's not yet a determined price in the shuk for these klei cheres. Amar Rav Yossi ben Medvar Mamurim, when do we say that you're not allowed to set a price for the klei cheres? It's if the guy already has the afar, he just hasn't created the molds yet. That's ba'afar lavan. That's where he's posik on a klei cheres that's made out of afar lavan, which is a very uncommon type of afar, and therefore it's difficult to find. So it's not considered that you have the pots if you don't yet have it. Aval ba'afar shachar, but if you have, in a case where the price is being set for kelim that are made out of afar shachar, kigon, kfar chananya v'chavroseha, like in certain places, or kfar shchin v'chavroseha, then poskin. Then even if you didn't even make the molds yet, you could be posek if you just had, even if you don't have the afar in your rishos at all. Af plishen lezeh, yesh lezeh, because it's so readily available, you can get it. If you don't have it, someone's got it, so you can get it from somebody else. So the Gemara brings a maisa to support this. A memer yav zuzei, a memer gave money and set a price for a kli cheres that are made from afar shachar, mikimale afra, from the time that the yotzrim already had the afar and the rishus, even though they didn't actually make the forms yet from which they were going to make the kli cheres. So come on, Rabbi Meir, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, ha'amar ad she'asu. Rabbi Meir says that you're not allowed to be posek until you made the forms, and he didn't make them yet. Rabbi Yossi, and if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, so then amar af pishen l'zeh yesh l'zeh. When it comes to offer shachar, even if the guy doesn't even have the offer yet, you're already allowed to set the price. So why did he dafka have to wait till he had the offer, even though it was before he made the forms? So says Mar Leon Rabbi Yossi, basi d'memir ashik afra, in the place of a Meimar, the offer was very expensive. It wasn't so easily found. It wasn't so common to find. So there's only smichus das if the guy already has the offer. And he'll give him the money. But if he doesn't have the offer, we have to be choshesh that maybe he's not going to find the offer, and therefore they could still be choser because maybe there's no smichus das. He may not be able to find the offer. The whole deal may ultimately be off. So the Gemara explains the machlokas tanoim as far as zevel goes. Uposigimal a zevel kol yemos hashana. We had said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to set a price for zevel the entire year, but then Rabbi Yosef said no, only if you have zevel biashpa, and then v'cham matirim. V'cham say that it's mutter. So cham haimitanakama. Aren't the cham and the tanakama the same person? Aren't they saying the same thing, that it's mutter? In what way do the chacham and the tanakama differ at all? So says Gemara, yemos hagesham mikvinayu. Tanakama and the cham disagree about being posek al zevel be yimosa gishamim during the winter time, that there are three shitos in the Mishnah. Tanakama allows to be posek on zevel throughout the year, even be yimosa gishamim, where it's not so easy to find zevel. Rabbi Yossi asks us to be posek on zevel even be yimosa chama, unless the guy actually has it. And the chama say it all depends on season, that in the summertime, since be yimosa chama, everyone has zevel in their ashpa because everything's already spoiled and rotted from the psolus that they took out of the field during the winter time. But b'mos ha'gashamim, they're molded to Rabbi Yossi that you're not allowed to be posing on zevel because you don't have the same supply of zevel. So the Mishnah had said that every time you're allowed to be posek ala peros, when the shahr has come out, or you have those peros, that you're allowed to make as part of the deal, that if at the time that he actually pays you, the peros are going to be cheaper, that he's got to give you kishar azul. It's just that Tanakama says you have to say that beferish. You have to make that deal at the shas psika beferish, and if you didn't make that deal beferish, then you only get the price at the shara psika, not at the Sharazul. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you didn't say it beferish, you're allowed to tell him that he has to provide you with peros at the cheaper price, if ultimately when he's giving you those peros, the price is in fact cheaper. Uposikimok Shara Gavoa. Shara Gavoa, as we said, didn't really mean a higher price. It meant that you're getting more peros for your money. So Gemara brings a Maisa where Rav Papa seemed to have paskin like the Tanakama. Who gavra di avzuze l'nidunya debei chamua. A person gave money to people who were selling nidunya. They were selling jewelry that young girls would have to bring into the marriage in almanas, that you'll give them the jewelry on a certain day. So the sof at the end of when the time came, zal nidunya. That jewelry was cheaper, and the guy who bought it wanted to be choser from the original price because he's not interested in buying the tachshitim at the original price. They're so much cheaper right now, and the mocher obviously wanted to keep it at the original price. Asul kamed Rav Papa, so they asked the shaila to Rav Papa. Amalei ipasakti imo, if you made a deal with him kishara gavoa shakel kaashta, if you made explicit in the deal that he's got to provide for you with whichever price is cheaper, whether it be the price at the shas psika or the price at the time that he's actually providing it for you, then good, then he's got to provide it for you at today's prices. Vilo shakel kimeikara, but if you didn't make an explicit deal, then you got to stick by the agreement of the original price. So you see, it's exactly like the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah says that even if you didn't make an explicit deal, it's understood. It's an implicit deal. So I'm there, Rabban Rav Papa. If they didn't make an explicit deal, do you really have to stick by the original price? Most ninhu, but the there wasn't any kinyan over here. He just paid money. Most lo kanu, money is not kona metaltalin. Why can't he just be choser in the whole deal? Oh, of course he could be choser in the deal, Rav Papa says, but then he's going to have to be makabel amishapara. So if he doesn't want to be makabel, the klala of amishapara, me'anchidor mabel, me'anchidor aflagu. that we had previously the Masech Daf Mem Dalet. If he's not interested in the Misha Para, so then he has to stick with the original deal. So he pasak kishara gavoa. If they made a so that's what I said. If they made a deal, then it's kishara gavoa. Mocher kahadar bay. Then the mocher is the one that's backing out because they made a deal that if it goes down in price, they're going to go with the shara zul. Mekabele mocher mishapara. If the mocher backs out, so then he's mekabele mishapara. Ilo pasak. If they didn't make any deal, lokech kahadar bay mekabele lelokech mishapara. Then the lokech is the one that's mekabele a mishapara. So the Mishnah previously on Daf Mem Daled, when it came to making kinyanim with kesef, had a machlokas between the Chachamim Rabbi Shimon about a kinyan kesef. According to the Chachamim, ma'us is not konos with metaltlin at all. If you give money for an item that the mocher has in his rishus and you didn't do mashicha, no agbah, no actual kinyan, so either one is allowed to be chozer. Just whoever is chozer is chayiv mishapara. But Rabbi Shimon holds that min haTorah ma'us is konos, and even the Chachamim don't take away the kinyan ma'os for anyone except for the mocher, that the mocher is able to be chozer even though he was ready mekabel the money. But the lokeach, we're omid bedin Torah. The lokeach is not allowed to be chozer at all. Once he's given the money, he's done a kinyan, and we stick with the din Torah, that it's an absolute kinyan. So that was the machlokas. So the Gemara asks now, Amalei Ravina Rav Papa. You know, Rav Papa paskin like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, the lokeach has to explicitly say with the mocher that if the price is going to go down, then you have to give me at the cheaper price. And if he doesn't say that explicitly, he can't make any such demands. So it sounds like that he holds that that's the Das Rabbim, that's how we're going to paskin against Rabbi Yehuda, because when you have a Yachid of a Rabbim, we paskin like the Rabbim. How do you know the Tanakama that says that you have to make a Tanai explicitly is following the Shita of the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, Damri Ma'us Lokanu, who say that money is not Kona at all, and even the Lokeach is able to be Chozer, and he's just that he's Makabal Mishapara. Vafilu Achi, and nevertheless, the Tanakama still says that if you make an explicit Tanai, Ipasa Kishar Gavoa, if you made a Tanai that you're going to have to give it at the cheaper price, Shakil Kedah. Then you're able to get it at the cheaper price. But in low pasuk, if you didn't make it an explicit tonight, shakel kedmei kara, then you have to take it at the original price. Dilma, maybe the Tanakama is going according to Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon he damar mos konos. Maybe what Tanakama is really saying is, I hold like Rabbi Shimon that mos is konos, and the chachamim don't take away the kinyan mos. Mos works on a daraisa level as far as lokeach is concerned. V'chi pasuk ashar gavoa. When you make a deal that you're going to give him the cheaper price, then you get the cheaper price. And if you don't make a deal, then you get the earlier set price that they had agreed upon. Because he already was kona with his money. So since it's the lokeach who's trying to back out, even though there's an umdana that the lokeach gave the money lechatchila al das to get the cheaper price, that umdana can't be mevatel a real mekach. And according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a real metach. So that's what our Mishnah was saying. Our Mishnah was saying that the Tanakam of our Mishnah was saying that if you didn't make an explicit deal, then we stick with an actual kinyan that was made, and you actually made a real kinyan. Of the Rabbanan, but maybe the Tanakam of our Mishnah would say that the Rabbanan would hold where Moses is not kona, bein pasak, bein lo pasak, whether you made it an explicit deal or not, shakel ki hashta, he has to provide you with today's prices, to daiti de inish, atarazila, that clearly the das of a person is to get the cheaper price. And if that's the case, that our whole Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Shimon, then you shouldn't be passing like the Tanakam of our Mishnah, because Tanakam of our Mishnah is only sticking within, is only said within the das yachid of Rabbi Shimon, but the Chacham wouldn't agree with the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and we would pass in the Chora like the Chachamim. So why are you, Rav Papa, paskin like the Tanakama and against Rabbi Yehuda? So Rav Papa explains this psak. So I'm later, Rav Papa says to Ravina, you cannot say that the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who requires making an explicit Tanai, is dafka said within Rabbi Shimon, and there's a real kinyan going on over here because he gave money, so it's a real kinyan, so the umdana that he wants, the cheaper price, is not going to overpower the real kinyan. That is not the logic of our Mishnah. Emer da Amar Rabbi Shimon bechad tara. When do we say that Rabbi Shimon holds Ma'us is konos and you can't be chozer? That's where the price didn't change from the time you gave the money until the time you want to be chozer. Betray tari, but if there are two separate prices, you gave the money al das to be makabel when it's still that price, and then it changes. Mi Amar, does Rabbi Shimon ever say in that case that the lokeach cannot be chozer if it goes down in price? Certainly, Rabbi Shimon would be modded to the chamim that in that case even the lokeach would be chozer, even though he's able to be chozer. Our Mishnah is saying, yeah, only if they actually made an explicit deal is he able to be chozer without being makabel mishapara. But if otherwise, he's going to be makabel mishapara. So the Gemara now proves that where he gave the money al das to be makabel what he's kona later on, and then the price changes, that Rabbi Shimon would be moda that the lokeach is able to change to back out. And you don't just say mos konos and he's locked in. If you don't say like Rav Papa saying right now, mishapara belokeach Rabbi Shimon lesley, there would never be a situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, is it never a situation where there's a Misha Para for the Lokeach? Because there's always a Kinyan whenever the Lokeach gave money, so there's automatically a full Kinyan. So would there never be a Misha Para? And if you're going to say, okay, who says that there has to be a curse available to every party and every Kinyan? But we have a Braisa that we had mentioned earlier, and Daf Mem Ches, Rabbi Shimon says that someone who's chosen from a Mekach, Mikol Makom, Kach Halacha, that he's going to get Paranus, but if he's chosen, the basin can't stop him from being chozer. Avlam Rucham Misha Para, but he still gets a Misha Para of Anshei Dara Mabel, Anshei Dara Flaga, etc., Anshei Dara Mitzrayim. So the Gemara is Medayik. My Mikol Makom. What is Rabbi Shimon adding with the words Mikol Makom? Yeah, you're telling me the idea that sometimes a Kinyan can be backed out on. It's not a real Kinyan, but you're still going to get cursed. Why do you have to say Mikol Makom? Lav Deloshon Lokeach Loshon Mocher Mekabelei Misha Para. Doesn't Mikol Makom mean both parties in the deal, both parties in the transaction, are subject to Mishapara? El Kikam Rabbi Shimon Bechad Tara, Betray Tari Lo Amar. So it must be that that's what it means, and therefore, when Rabbi Shimon says that giving money is a full-fledged Kinyan, that's only when it's the same price. But if the price has changed since then, so then there's the Kinyan is not a full-fledged Kinyan, and it's only a violation of a Mishapara. Amle Ravach Breid Rav L'Ravashi. So Ravach Breid Rav says, Ravashi, why does Rav Papa Paskin that the chassan who gave money for the nedunya of his father-in-law is not allowed to be chozer when the jewelry goes down in price, unless he's willing to be makabel mishapara? Typically, the shliach shavya meikara. Shouldn't we say that the chassan is not chayv mishapara because his father-in-law never made him? He only made him a shliach to buy for him. So since his father-in-law is the one that's being chozer and doesn't want to buy it, so what's he supposed to do? He's only a shliach. He's just doing the bidding of his father-in-law. So he says that the mice was not a chassan that was a shliach of his father-in-law. We're talking about a chassan who himself was a merchant. His father-in-law made a deal to sell him the nedunya, and he went and he made the deal himself. So he was really a player in the deal. He wasn't just doing the bidding of his father-in-law. So that's why he's the one that's mekabel the misha para. Good. The Mishnah is going to discuss a case where even though we said sa'a b'sa'a is generally problematic, I can't give you a pound of flour today, so with the deal that you can give me a pound of flour in a month from now, because the price of flour could change between today and a month from now, but there's one situation where it's mutter to do that. Malva adam esarisav chitin b'chitin. A person who owns a field is allowed to lend his aris, his sharecropper, a sa'a of wheat, al menas, that he gives him back a sa'a of wheat from the grain that the field produces, aside from his normal percentage that the owner of the field gets, and even if wheat goes up in price, you don't have to worry about that. Lizera, that's only when the sharecropper needs that wheat in order to plant the field. Avalo lechel, but if the sharecropper is borrowing the wheat because he just wants to eat it, that's asr, because then it has nothing to do with him being a sharecropper. That's the general deal of a sa b'sa. And we have to say this heter shay Rav Gamliel, because Rav Gamliel was extra machmir. He was malves aris of chitin b'chitin lizera biyoker v'huzlu obzul v'hu. Whether at the time of the halva the chitim was more expensive, and then at the time of the pirona went down in price, or vice versa, notal man ksharazul, he would always take only from the cheaper price from the sharecroppers. The lo mipnei shalacha came, not because that was the halacha, but rather it's because Rabbi Gamliel in general was always trying to be extra machmir on himself. But it was a midas chasidus. But that's it. That's how Rashi explains. But otherwise, the Mishnah wouldn't have had to teach us this din, because the Gemara is going to say the Mishnah is talking about where the Baal Asad is still able to be misalik the Yaris. So it's pashut that he's able to make whatever tonight he wants. So that's why we're dafka emphasizing that Rabbi Gamliel did this purely out of a midas chasidus. Tanu Rabbanan, malva the masris of chitim chitim lezera, that you're allowed to do like we said in the Mishnah. You're providing him with chitim, you'll get chitim back because he needs the chitim to plant. But medvar mamurim shelo yara, that's if the artist didn't start working in the field. Aval yara at aser. But once you already have the deal in place and he's already working for you, then it's aser to do that. Maishna tana didan the lo kamaflik ben yara ben lo yara. Maishna tana brad the kamaflik ben yara ben lo yara. Why did our Mishnah not make this chilik, and why did the Brisa all of a sudden make this chilik between yara and lo yara? Amarav ravidi asbra ni aliba aser the tana didan arisi of bizra. In the place where our Mishnah was taught, the artist gives the one that provides the zraim for planting the fields. So bein yared, bein lo yared. So then it doesn't make a difference if he started kamedol yav bizra matzi misalikli. Calls man that the aris didn't give the zraim the zchus of the baal azada is still there to be misalik him from the arisos. So kikonachis abatzer meachi kanachis, when the aris is yared to the field, the almanas to be makabel tefua less than the other arisim. So it's not a halva; it's a tanai in the arisos itself. And therefore, even if it goes up in price, it's no concern of ribbis. But Ba'asad Tana Barah, where the Bryce was taught, Ara Yav Bizra, the owner of the field, the owner of the field, Mari Ara Yav Bizra, the owner of the field is the one that gives the that provides the seeds. So Yilo Yara the Matzim Misalikle, if he hasn't started working, where you could still cut out the deal entirely, Kikanachis Abatzer Behachi Kanachis. So then you assume they're just changing the conditions of the employment. It's not ribbis. But a Yarad, if you already started working for him, Lo Matzim Misalikle, where it's too late to change the deal, usher, then you're not allowed to change the deal, so then it's going to be a violation of ribbis when you give him a sa'a b'sa'a. Okay, better show him pick up a Tanu Rabbanan tomorrow.